Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I'm not starting with you in an attitude. This episode is going to come out right after the 4th of July, and I don't want your pre-4th of July attitude infecting my post-4th of July bliss. How does sound?
You know what, Rana? I think that's very selfish because I have to tell you what my craw daddy has to do with you.
Where the craw dad sing? What's the issue? You and Reese?
Me and Reese.
I had to look up where the crawdad
Do you know
and
my
crawfish
name?
Were the same thing.
Are they?
They are. They
Crawdaddy's
call
like a funny name.
Crawdads in Mississippi and crawfish
in Louisiana,
in
Texas.
Louisiana, yeah. Yeah, I'm so glad there's two words.
Look, I'm upset. I don't want to talk about this.
Well, all right, let's hear it.
I just wondered if you were missing any cutlery.
From my home?
I was just wondering if you were missing a knife or something.
My home here or in the vineyard?
Your home there. I just wondered, because if you are, I just want you to know the knife is in my back. So you can take it back whenever you want.
Oh, yes. I guess I am missing some cutlery.
What happened? I don't know, Rana. All of a sudden, there was a free feed episode that popped up a couple of weeks ago, and I haven't seen you since.
Oh, you didn't know about Naomi?
No, I knew she was on the Patreon, and that's it. We didn't discuss anything else. It's not funny, Rana.
You're genuinely upset. I don't blame you. This is a little bit like when Kelly Ripa was auditioning guest hosts. You know, that they'd sort of say so-and-so was sick or something, but you knew that they were auditioning hosts. I mean, you knew. You know, everyone knew. Everyone knew except for the person who got asked.
Wait, I'm trying to connect the dots here
Michael,
in my head.
Michael. You know, like Michael. What was his name? Michael.
Yeah, Strahan.
Who is he these days?
Good Morning America.
Still?
Yeah.
Oh, good for him.
He's doing wonderfully on there.
Yeah, delighted for him. We have another talk show host on today, Pat.
Yeah,
another
we do
morning talk show.
I don't know how
Maven.
I'm going to be able to slip into this, though. I really don't. I mean,
So you didn't know there was a Naomi free feed. I'll be honest with you. We had booked Naomi just for the Patreon. And
right.
I said to myself, why would I squander this much fun, this much talent? If I've got this talent, you know, if I've got her right where I want her, she's already here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to make her do a free feed with me because Brian has been gallivanting. Let's be honest. I mean, never has the word gallivanting applied to you to anything like your Rumspringa for the last couple of months, pardon me, which I think we could say you are on a Rumspringa, couldn't we?
I think it's safe to say that. Yeah.
You were in England. You were in Scotland. Mm-hmm. You were in Peru.
Yep.
You were in Machu Picchu. You were in Aguascalientes.
Correct.
You were in, when this the comes Inca out, Trail. You'll either still or not be in New York anymore. I don't know. I know you're going to New York.
Well, Rana, I just wanted to tell you.
I don't know if
you.
You're going to be back by the time this comes out. I can't rely on, you said to me, don't worry, Rana, when I'm on the Inca Trail, I'll have my podcasting equipment. And surprise, surprise, your satellite uplink, which I paid, I don't know what for, didn't work.
No, it didn't.
So I was forced to scramble. So I said, as long as I have Naomi, let me bank in that extra episode. And I hate to tell you, people were thrilled.
Well, I want to tell you this, Rana. Here's what the deal is. In order, because we're recording this before 4th of July, in order for me to come to the vineyard for 4th of July, no Elaine, no Jordan, no Blueberry, no Mr. Cleveland. That's the only way I'll come.
What do you want all that time with me for?
Well, I just want to make sure that that you remember my talent, my wit, my stage presence, my audio presence, all of it. I need
not the one who walked out on this show, Brian. Okay. I've been sitting in this same chair. Okay. For all you know, when we close the Zoom, I'm still sitting here and waiting for you to sign back on. I could be fused to this chair for all you.
Well, then I guess, Rana, I guess I was
buying a new Cavalli two-piece and a couple of Celine numbers just yesterday. But if I hadn't gone shopping, I could easily be fused to this chair.
Well, then, Rana, I guess I owe you an apology. So
this is classic. This is classic reverse psychology. You walked down on me, now you're punishing me. This is classic.
You know, I never thought of it that way, but I actually think maybe you're right.
You left, and because you're a leaver, you're afraid I'm going to leave. So now you're trying to, I don't know what, punish me into staying. I can't quite figure it out. I hadn't thought about it. Okay. I hadn't worked it out yet.
Really? Okay. Well, I guess because
I wasn't
expecting
to be attacked.
Right. You know what? Let's do a refresh and let bygones be bygones, and we're cool. So,
what are you going to get me from New York that I need that I don't have that you're going to bring back to me is the question. I hope it's not a box full of Molotov chocolate bars like you brought me from Peru. Molotov. I called it Molotov, like a Molotov cocktail. That's what I'm going to call it, a Molotov cocktail.
I gave Rana diabetes chocolates, and I did not need
Speaking of cocktails. And then our guest is going to be
here. See, now I'm in a good mood just because you mentioned that.
Here's what I want to say.
Go for it, Rana.
The Kiki was an unmitigated success. People that have signed up for the July box will be soon finding out when their box is shipping and getting the details on the July cocktail box. As I mentioned, there are little passwords in the box, et cetera, et cetera. It's a very exclusive event.
Extremely.
I'm starting to feel very sad for the people that have not signed up for the cocktail
club.
It's
not great, Rana. It's, yeah.
As we say, they have to sign up by the first of that month. So now we're into July. Anyone who signs up now forward is signing up for August. And August,
correct.
I have to tell you, we have a really elegant situation going on for August.
Really?
It's something I'm really looking forward to, I have to say. Personally, it's just how I want to spend my August.
I'll have to wear my nice boots and spurs for this one, Rana. What's going on?
Actually, the perfect thing to wear for the August box, and I know we're still on July, but the perfect thing to wear for the August box, white linen. So you better start
I'll find my best.
Your white linen lounge pants. Now, I would allow a seersucker, but I'd love to see. I want everybody to wear white.
I know what it is. I already know what it is based on that, but
I want everybody to wear white to the... to the August Kiki. We're going to start instituting a dress code because there were a couple people that showed up that were far too casual.
I have to be honest, Rana. It was not... Are you talking about me?
There were a couple people who showed up who were far too casual for me.
So are you talking about me?
There were a couple of people who showed up.
Right. You know what?
Far, far too casual for me.
So you're saying like.
Though I'm talking about allowing people to be casual in August, but that.
Is a seersucker slash
that's up to
linen
me,
situation.
I mean, that's up to me, you know. Yeah. But yes, August dress code is going to be white linen.
That's gorgeous, Ron. It's going to feel so refreshing.
Crisp. The key word for August is crisp. That's what I'll say.
That's wonderful. Because I got to tell you, usually when you think of August, you think of balmy.
August
nasty.
Is hot as can be and humid and nasty. And that's
I want
why
something
people,
crisp.
They need something cold to drink.
Yep.
And they need a little white linen to keep it all the air flowing through breathable.
This is not breathable. Hot toddy weather.
No, but no. We'll get there.
We're going to get there.
So, Rana, so that's how what I have to say go? About August. Oh, they go to arsocial.club. Just kidding,
that's
Brian.
Right,
they go to arsocialclub.com. Just kidding. They can go to either of those.
Perfect.
And I have to tell you, the membership of the club, as exclusive as it is growing at a pace that has got me worried.
Gallop a pace.
Well, because Fiasco, I find independent purveyor. And you know, we're very committed to helping independent producers. Like that
correct.
Gorgeous Pisco that we did for our first box, which was
right. This isn't like...
We could tell people now, by the way, the June box.
Yeah.
Was a gorgeous piece.
If you didn't see us posting
punch,
it online,
if you will.
People were going nuts, Rana. The presentation was so beautiful. It looks to be a gift of about $500.
I hate to tell you. I mean, I can't even talk about your check's going to be smaller this month because I had to go deep into debt to make that. The box is as gorgeous as they are.
Oh, well, we could knock off a few pennies off that thing, actually.
Yeah. But my point is this, that not only do they get the gorgeous, when they sign up for the club, they get the gorgeous welcome box. They get the beautiful welcome gift, excuse me, which was that, is gorgeous. That gorgeous gold jigger.
Yeah.
Could use a new word, but that's what it is.
Sure.
That's the accepted parlance. And of course, the beautiful ginger garnish, the crystallized ginger. We wanted to make sure everyone had the perfect garnish. And the drink was a Chilcano, which was actually Ivy's take on a Chilcano. How fabulous was Ivy? I mean,
incredible.
James Beard nominated.
I felt so special, Rana.
James Beard nominated bartender Ivy Mix joined us for the cocktail presentation. Absolutely gorgeous. The Chilcano, one of the key ingredients, a fresh strawberry. And I hate to tell you, did I have to send people a muddler? Did I?
Yeah, you
no,
did.
No, but I no, did it didn't. Anyway because I That's wanted right. to make sure that they had the proper tools to enjoy that gorgeous drink.
It was,
and the Pisco, you could have murdered somebody with that bottle.
Incredible. That's what people need to understand. This
full
is like a bespoke
bottles.
Collection.
And the ginger beer from Q, which, pardon me, I happen to know that they stock at the Waldorf Astoria in Beverly Hills.
Excuse
the
me.
The Q ginger beer was absolutely gorgeous, refreshing, and also a full size. They make me feel like so cheap that I have to tell them it's a full size bottle.
I know what you mean. This is, we're not
beautiful.
Flying on an airline here.
And I was so proud of all of our people who photographed it and storied it. And, I mean, it really
those were like
did
portraits.
A beautiful job. Yeah, gorgeous. Still
speaking lives. Of portraits, Rana, I wouldn't mind having a little Sears photo shoot with you sometime.
We'd have to find a Sears that's still in business.
That's true. That'll be the hardest part, actually.
Yeah. Now, Dia, we have a couple of updates here before we get to our incredible
we
guests.
We certainly do. Let's see here.
What have we got here? Comments.
Okay.
Uh-oh. Someone wants to know, is Mariah Carey okay? That's their screen name.
That's right. And then it says, Earwig Chili Witch. I could honestly listen to Rana list off insects all day. 5 stars only. Excuse me. Which, by the way.
A lot of people said that.
We did the Wild Horses show like a month ago, and Mary
yes.
Holland brought it up during that show, too. And we all said we could. We still think about it.
Well, that was backstage chatter is what that was.
Silverfish.
We were talking about it backstage with Mary Holland, Silverfish.
Silverfish.
Yeah.
Bedbugs. Gnats.
Gnats. Rah-Rah 2000. Yeah,
hit it,
who's
Rana.
This? No, you,
three gasps.
You know I don't read these.
I
don't
read
my
these.
Own comments.
You don't wait in these waters. Three gasps, nailed it again. This is a Mrs. Glickman masterclass in ways to say no. With gasps, without gasps, hurried, spelled out, shocked, defiant, resigned. Ultimately, the two of you deliver a brilliant therapeutic evaluation. I would know. My PhD is in clinical psychology. Mm. The only thing that Ron and Brian ever get wrong is assuming that their loyal listeners don't enjoy and crave a 3-hour dose of their magic. Well, there.
Well, look, I don't think, you know, that's part of my OnlyFans is I'm going to do a 24-hour episode on my OnlyFans.
Well, Rana, I don't think your OnlyFans is up to you because actually someone named Sarah wrote in with an OnlyFans request.
Oh, no.
Dearest Rana, here is what I would like. Here is what I would like to see on your OnlyFans.
I did ask people to write in and tell me if I did an OnlyFans, what kind of content would you be interested in?
Here we go. I would like to see the products on your bathroom countertop, vanity, and in your shower. Set up in storage as well. Maybe you could describe the smells and apply them as well.
That's filthy.
I would like to see you stroke your 80,000 thread count sheets with those gorgeous French tips. And I would like to watch you prepare and drink a Carriage House Blend iced coffee through a straw.
Uh-oh.
Also, what, Rana, you ready?
Uh-uh.
The lesbians among us would like a little cleave or side boob. Love you, Sarah.
That's repulsive to me.
Well, and then Maggie said what she wanted for the OnlyFans was naked lap swimming in the pool.
I said I wasn't going to show any TIT.
That's
what
right.
I said. I was very clear about that. You wouldn't know because I discussed it with Naomi.
Oh, right. I boycotted that one.
Yeah. But I think anyone that wants to see me drink from a straw, I think that's sexual in nature. I do.
It's all there. I got to say this. Rana is a very sexy person, but she is not a hoe.
I'm not a sex positive sex worker. It's true.
That's true. You're not.
I'm sex positive. I'm not a sex worker.
No, you're not.
Someone named Kimothy, 66, who must have stolen from Rimothy.
Yes, yes.
Perhaps one of my all-time best nicknames.
Rimothy is one of the best names ever. Yeah, for sure. That
Timothy
was a good
and Rimothy.
Yep.
What a scrimshish. Listen, scrimshish.
Scrimshish.
By the way, scrimshish was the password to our first KK.
How oh, like I didn't know that.
Scrimshish.
It's impossible not to say when you're typing it.
Honestly, the highlight of my week. I binged every episode on both the free and Patreon feed during the height of the pandemic, and it truly helped me stay grounded. Do not hesitate to subscribe and become a CHIP chip.
Fabulous. Ron, I think our guest is here.
Oh, wait a minute. We've been waiting. He better this give us the inside scoop. That's all I'm going to say about him. Last time I saw him was in Montauk, so I'm excited to see what he's been up to. He's from
here. I don't remember when you went to Montauk.
He's the affair. You know that? The affair was based on him.
What?
No, but we're going to ask him anyway.
Oh, okay.
Without further ado, Jeremiah O'Connell.
O.C. Rana, listen to this sound.
Does that put a smile on my face? What is that?
I got to tell you, Rana, this is the sound of another sale on Shopify. Uh-huh. The all-in-one commerce platform to start, run, and grow your business.
Oh, I know Shopify. We use it for Ask Rana Coffee.
Of course we do.
Among other things, yeah.
We use it because it gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved for big business. So that upstart startups and established businesses alike can sell everywhere, synchronize online and in-person sales, and effortlessly stay informed. So, Rana, we don't have to be a Fortune 500 company to do this.
I'll tell you what, that's entirely true because I'm on Shopify every minute.
There you go.
Trying to see where our sales are. Sure. I'm very involved and it makes it so easy for me.
Scaling your business is a journey of endless possibilities because believe me, what did we start selling on this podcast, Rana?
I think our first thing we ever sold was maybe like a t-shirt.
A t-shirt. And what are we selling now? Are you kidding me?
Pardon me, we're selling a cocktail club.
Are you serious?
In addition to our own beverage, a Negroni, our own personalized alcoholic beverage. In addition to our fabulous coffee, of course, which never goes out of stock.
And Rana, I have a feeling we're not stopping there because success... No. I came up with this. Success is a million milestones on a forever evolving path.
It sounds like you came up with that.
Thank you. I did. Like Ask Rana, Shopify powers millions of businesses from first sale to full scale. So any size, you can reach customers online and across social networks with an ever-growing suite of channel integrations and apps like Facebook, like Instagram, like TikTok, like Pinterest. And MOA. Gain insights as you grow with detailed reporting of conversion rates, profit margins, and beyond. Rana loves looking at the numbers.
Honestly, that sounds boring. I'll tell you something. If you're running a Shopify store,
it's kind of a thrill.
It is so exciting. I love looking at the charts. I love looking up the dates. I love looking and saying, well, this time last year, how did we do? Or this compared to this. It's a thrill.
And as we grow, Rana, Shopify grows with us. It's more than a store. It's possibility powered by Shopify. So go to shopify.com/askrana, all lowercase.
Thank you.
For a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features.
Oh, forget trial. The second they try this, if they really have a business and something they're selling, you're in. There's no turning back.
So grow your business with Shopify today. Go to shopify.com/askrana right now. shopify.com/askrana.
Attention Carriage House members, Rana here to tell you all about Anchor.fm. Anchor is the fabulous app that we use to create our podcast. And let me tell you something. You can use it to create a podcast of your own. It's totally free. They have these terrific creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, if you're that sort of person. I have a staff, excuse me. And now you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes, which is pretty fabulous. The possibilities are totally endless. So download the free Anchor app now or go to anchor.fm to get started today.
kiss, kiss.
Wait a minute.
Rana.
Wait, hold on a second. Let me just open the windows.
Wait, there keep it in. Keep it in. Okay. I have to tell you, this is a this, real, this is a first. I don't even, Rana, what is going on in your mind right now?
Well, I just, in my mind, I just got in a time machine. And I took that time machine to 1983.
I got to say, he's in a hot rod.
What year is that, Kai? Is it 87?
81. Good year.
81. Wow. Okay. So I just got in a time machine to 1981.
Yeah.
And I already had the experience that I would have if I was podcasting with a star from 1981.
Sure.
Meaning their understanding of technology and what is necessary.
Barely pre-AIDS, Rana. Barely pre-AIDS.
So we cut. This is the first interview we've conducted from a Corvette. I'll say that.
Yep.
It's not the first time I've been in the front seat of a Corvette, but it's the first time
Rana
conducted an interview from a Corvette.
This is new.
By the way, the BG on this thing, the background, the authenticity of what we're looking at.
It's actually incredibly fantastic.
And by the way, it is the perfect setting for the star that is joining us today, who
we have
easily
a star.
Could have been just as big of a star in 1981 as he is now, I hate to
True.
Say.
True.
Maybe bigger.
Jerry, were you working in 1981?
No.
No. A little bit Jerry.
What was the year you started? What was the first job? Ladies and germs, Jerry O'Connell.
The fabulous Jerry O'Connell.
Yeah. Thank you. The first job I got, I went to a place called HB Studios in New York, which was an acting studio.
Sure. On Bank Street.
Exactly. It's actually quite a famous, Uta Hagen founded it.
Okay, yeah.
I'm
it's
probably
right across
getting this all wrong.
From, the Cubby Hole, the famous lesbian bar. It was right around the corner.
Correct.
Also a terrific French country antique store. I don't know if it's still there.
I don't
Hogwash?
Know if it's still there.
Pardon?
Wasn't it called Hogwash, the French antique store?
It wasn't, no.
Okay.
But, Hogwash. I went there as a child when I was about 9 or 10. On Sundays, they had like a teen acting improv class.
Sure.
Okay. Uh-huh. And it's so funny. I went to it early. I was younger. I was like 10 and everybody else was like 15 and 16. And I don't know how I got into it, but, my life until that point had been like, a series of like getting in trouble at school, but not like crimes. I was not that popular. I was a little overweight. I wasn't good at sports. I was good at nothing,
You sound exactly the same, except that you're thin now.
But Rana.
Well,
what are you
kidding?
What do you think? He's not a little mischief maker? I never met a maneuver in my life like Jerry O'Connell.
Well, it's working to his advantage. He's a workaholic.
He's fun trouble.
He's fun.
Well, listen, I went to this acting class and I remember we had to improv a scene where we were on. The teacher said to us, you're on the ledge of a building. Okay.
Yeah. Sure.
And
classic.
I'm with five other students who are like 16 years old. And I made a whole bit. I found a game where I didn't want to hurt the pigeons. They should leave the pigeons alone, that the pigeons don't kick them. And it was killing. And afterwards, I remember this very attractive person in the class came up to me and said, that was really funny what you did. You were killing it in there. And it was the first time. Parents, teachers, peers, anyone said to me, you were really good at something. And
that person was Rebecca Romijn. Is that correct?
No, my wife was not even looking at me at that point. My wife, who I'm married to, who was a model for many years and very attractive and way out of my league. We figured out that we lived like a block away from each other in New York for a couple of years. And my wife was like, oh, that's crazy.
When you say you figured it out, do you mean you knew and she didn't?
I never saw my wife because I would have recognized her.
Because she's so stunning. You would say Rebecca Romijn lives around the corner from me. I'm going to see if she's going to get a cup of coffee tomorrow.
At the time, my wife was known. So I would have known.
Sports Illustrated every minute.
But my wife was like, oh, that's so crazy. We must have passed each other and maybe in another dimension we're like in a relationship. And I was thinking to myself, you were married to the richest television star at the time. Why would you want to be with a college student who's living with his parents? Why would you?
Like, but isn't it funny what a difference a couple of years makes?
No kidding.
No, truly, you were a college student at that time, and then you grow up, and 10 years later, here you are, Mr. Marriage Material.
Yeah,
I mean, listen, I got really lucky. I got really lucky with my wife. I met my wife when my wife was 30. We were both 30.
Over the
hill. Well, we dated for a couple years, and it was fun, you know?
You're the same age, you and your wife?
My wife is a little bit older. You months older.
That's what I thought. Yeah, that's what I thought.
It's funny.
Like, you were a college student. Those are the prime years for supermodels. So she was probably jobbing every, you know. So those were probably her early days where she was exploding in her career and you was living with your parents. That's true.
Well, I was living with my parents. She was living with the biggest television star of the time and still to this day, John, someone whose initials are John Stamos. And
Sure.
They had a very close, intimate relationship.
Do you have a dog or anything that they have joint custody of?
Is there any reason that you have to share anything with him?
No. You know, they did get divorced coming up on 19 years ago.
Oh, so that'd be an old dog.
Be a hardy dog. Be a sturdy dog.
There actually was a pet. That my wife got custody of.
Uh-huh.
And
did it hate you?
No.
Oh my God.
No, I became very close to the pet. The pet is in doggy heaven now.
Yeah.
God rest its doggy soul. It was a great dog.
But you and John Stamos petted the same dog.
But I always had a joke that if I ever ran into Mr. Stamos, which I haven't, that I would let him know the dog's name was Bim. He was a great dog. That I would let him know that that Bim calls me his father now, that I'm Bim's father.
But one day I want that to happen for you because honestly,
but it never happened.
And all you years, you never ran into him once. You were never both. Never. You were never walking into a Cheesecake Factory when he was walking out.
No,
you were never at an upfront together. Nothing.
No, but if it did happen, I would. I would say
hello.
I would say. Help me. What's going on? I'm kidding. I would say
any insight. I'm 17 years into this. Any insight?
What can I do here? These are jokes, everyone. These are jokes. Come on. We're making jokes.
Jerry, dear, I have one more question for you. And then we have to get to what this show really is, which is people write in. They're desperate. These are the saddest people on the planet. And they need help. And they've come to us. And so what we do is we read their letters and we think about it a little. And then we answer from the gut.
Goes wrong. Rana, I know what's happening.
It's called a recap for people that haven't listened before.
Okay. Yeah, if this is your first time listening, these are the rules. No, you're good.
But the most important question.
If this is your first time listening, our guest is always called guest riding in a car while we're in our homes. That's the name of the podcast.
So in any event, I have to ask, and I'll leave it to Brian to ask the specifics.
All right, Mr. Sappy.
I only have the one general question, but
we need an update on Wendy.
What do you know? Because we know that Wendy and you have
Brian
a nice relationship.
Huge Wendy fan.
I've never missed an episode. Never missed an episode, including the ones that you hosted, Jerry. I've never missed one.
So am I. You know, I'm actually going to get a little serious on your show here.
Right.
It's a serious question.
You know, I'm like a lot of us, a huge Wendy Williams fan, and really believe that Wendy Williams changed daytime television for the way better. And when Wendy stopped doing her show, it was a bummer for all of us. There's something missing from my days. There
totally
is something
agree.
Missing from my days. Those first 20 minutes that Wendy did, there is something missing from my days.
And only she could do it. It's a wild to watch. I mean, really, it was just one of those singular.
Take you on a ride.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, when I guest hosted, so Wendy had to, Wendy took a sabbatical.
Yeah.
And they called me up and they wanted me to guest host her show because they had to be live shows. And Wendy gave me the stamp of approval. Thank you, Miss Williams. Always appreciative of you. Those first 20 minutes that I did, I was like, yeah, okay. So I come out and just like Wendy, I talk about a couple topics and it's 20 minutes and then boom, we go. That was the most frightened I've ever been as a performer, as a human, because the director came out to me and said, so, you know, Wendy does 20 minutes. We don't go to commercial. If you run out of things to say, just talk about the weather. I mean, just figure it out because we don't go to commercial for 20 minutes. And Wendy so effortlessly fills those 20 minutes in just effortlessly. And
yeah,
I got to tell you, doing it was so frightening. Do you know how hard it is to sit by yourself on a stool and
right.
entertain people for 20 minutes with
yeah.
keeping it interesting and moving and not looking at notes and being like, oh, what else do we have here? Oh, you know, it's like, but you know what? The second
no
I did
teleprompter.
I have to say, though, I mean, there's only just like bullet points on the teleprompter, right?
Just bullet points.
Yeah.
Kanye responds to Kim. Like, right. that's it. Like, that's it.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's so funny. Like, but, you know, the first time I did it, the second it was over, I wanted to do it again.
I just think you crushed it, Jerry. Every time you were on that show, you crushed
it. But, you know, I've studied from, you know, I co-hosted with Kelly Ripa a bunch. So I got to watch her. I've co-hosted with Wendy. I mean, I was on Wendy's show a lot and I watch her every day. So I was able to take from her. And also, this is like the fourth time I've been on Rana's podcast. So
listen, you learn a lot from her. Everyone does.
There was something Jerry told me once on a former podcast. It's a story about his wife. I'll never forget it as long as I live. He probably doesn't even remember. When I bring it up, he will. I'll never in my life be able to get this out of my head.
I think I know what you're going to say because I remember this story.
He bought his wife a box of chocolates.
I do remember this story.
They sat on the dresser and she kept saying, I don't know why those chocolates are here. Basically, I'm not interested. I'm not even going to touch them.
Right, because she liked to seize candy or something.
Bought them for her for Valentine's Day or something.
The holidays, maybe, yeah.
And so finally he said, if I have this right, Jerry, you'll correct me if I'm wrong. He finally said to himself, if they're just going to sit there, I guess I'll have one. And he opened the box to find that they had gone from being chocolates to being decoy chocolates. She had strategically eaten the inside out of each, from the bottom.
But the shape of the chocolate was still in there. You would never know.
The shape was still there. Is that right? Or she just eats from the bottom to try them and then puts them back and other people don't know.
I told the story and it was broadcast?
Oh, to the world.
That's an absolute true story. Did I know we were being recorded when I told
Absolutely
that story?
Absolutely, you did. But that's, you used to get a little charge out of giving your wife the business in public. I don't know how it works in private, but I know that in public you like to give her the business a little.
The business. Oh God, the business. yeah, that's a true story. It was funny. It was actually more of a like a, you know, it's funny. I don't know about other relationships, but in our relationship, like for example, we're at a particular age now where we have trouble reading. I have trouble reading.
Sure.
And I didn't want to get glasses until my wife had to get glasses. And it became like a competition. So it came to a point where we were at restaurants at the Cheesecake Factory. And the like
the aforementioned Cheesecake Factory.
And the menu would
where
come.
All the celebrities eat in Las
By
Vegas.
The way, John Travolta does eat there. Yeah.
And you know who else eats there? Channing Tatum.
There we go.
He did a reading at the Grove a couple of weeks ago. For he has a little kids book series and he wanted to go downstairs to the Cheesecake Factory afterwards to get something to eat. And everybody went nuts. They couldn't figure out how they were going to get Channing Tatum to the Cheesecake Factory. And I think the answer is that you just walk through the door and say, can I have a table?
That's it.
Do they have
it's harder to get out than it is to get in.
True.
Is there a Cheesecake at the Grove? I know there's a Maggiano's at the Grove.
There's also a Maggiano's.
Maggiano's Italian Grill?
John Travolta's the one who goes to the one at the Grove. That's his spot.
So I'll go to a restaurant with my wife and I'll open the menu and, you know, depending if it's one of these like hip restaurants, aforementioned Maggiano's or whatever, it's very dark in there and I won't be able to read the menu at all. I mean, it just means, it doesn't even look like hieroglyphics. It looks like nothing.
So then you just have to get the chicken paella.
No, I just say to my wife, the code is, you know what? This all looks great. Why don't you just order whatever you want? And I'll
just pick up your name. And you do that to each other? I can't read
it. We were both of our eyesides are going crazy, but we were having a contest. We were having a competition as to who could get glasses last. And I recently lost. I had to get a pair today.
We talk about this sometimes. I always think about Sean Penn and Mystic River when he's working at the liquor store and he has his Ritas. And there's something about an Irish man of a certain age, a real macho beefcake type. Maybe you've heard of this kind of guy, Jerry, who doesn't want to get the Ritas. And at some point he has to get the Ritas and he goes from sex pot to grandpa. And
to Laura just Bush.
That instant, totally. However long it takes to put on the glasses, that's what happens.
That's what happened. But anyway, with the chocolate, getting back to the chocolates, it was almost like a competition of like, well, I'm not going to eat them unless my wife eats them. Like, I'm going to have my wife eat the first one. And I kept checking the box and my wife was not eating them. And I was like, I'm not eating the first one. My wife has got to eat it. Like, I'm not going to drop first blood. My wife has to. And it was only after I finally broke down after 2 weeks that I went to bite one. And it was just the top shell of chocolate. And then I realized all of them had been sucked down. But like a vampire, my wife had been like,
I get that pathology and I applaud it.
Genius. Absolute genius. Total genius. I have to say she is a worthy opponent.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
all right.
Good,
let's start with that first question. It's absolutely bananas. Brian, okay, are you going to read it or am I? I think you should read it.
I'm happy to, Rana. Okay. Here we go. Dear Rana, Brian, and five-star guest, Jerry O'Connell. Fabulous.
Here we go.
In a car.
Jerry O.
Riding in cars with Jerry O. I do love you and the podcast dearly, but I need to cut right to it.
Right.
My dad met my stepmom. I don't like it. And I know they're British and I know they're Canadian, but I don't like it.
Yeah, my dad or Australian.
Or Australian. Yeah. My dad met my stepmom when I was 18. My stepmom has a son, Peter, not his real name.
Okay.
Peter is the same age as me. I'm now 30. Although we are not related by blood, I very much see him as a brother. My daughter calls him Uncle Peter.
Okay.
My real mom's sister, my aunt, has a daughter, my cousin Patricia. If it's relevant, Patricia's 28.
Okay.
When Peter was over for dinner recently, Of course, it always is. When Peter was over for dinner recently, I asked if he was seeing anybody. He's very active on the dating app, so this question usually leads to a good hour or so of updates about various different women he's seeing. On this particular occasion, the answer had me floored. He proudly told me he's been dating Patricia. After confirming that he meant Patricia, I managed a few more questions but decided for the sake of my gag reflex to move the conversation away from dating.
Huh.
It's been a few days and I feel increasingly uncomfortable with this. They're not blood related and I'm certain it's not illegal. So why am I finding this so wrong? It's because it is wrong, right? I love them both dearly and would love for them to both meet someone wonderful, but does it really have to be each other? I need help deciding whether to butt out and let them go on with it or to express my discomfort. I know I don't know what that would achieve, but I can really just let it go to the point where Patricia's my cousin and my sister-in-law. Thanks for any advice or coping mechanisms you have to offer. Signed, Polly. We've never had a Polly.
We haven't.
I'm trying to figure out the math on this one.
Uh-huh.
So Patricia is...
They're step-siblings. I'll break it down. They're step-siblings.
Are they? I guess... But you mean Patricia and Peter are step-siblings?
No, Patricia is a step-cousin.
They're step-cousins?
And Peter is a step-cousin?
Okay. Polly and Peter are stepbrother and sister.
Yes.
The parents got married when they were 18. Okay?
Right.
No. So there's no blood relation. No blood
relation. Correct. At the time, Patricia was 16. Patricia is the cousin of Polly. She is not the cousin of Peter. She became Peter's cousin we don't know when they met, but legally she became Peter's step cousin when she was 16 and he was 18. And then there's this sentence. On this particular occasion, the answer had me floored. He proudly told me he's been dating Patricia. After confirming that he meant Patricia, I managed a few more questions, but decided blah, 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 blah. We don't know when Peter and Patricia met for the first time, but it was probably not before she was 15, 16, 17, 18.
Jerry, what do you think?
Do we think they've made whoopee?
Probably.
Yeah, but they're not related. Their parent, her aunt and his father happened to get married.
This is going to be a hot take, everyone. I've thought about it.
Go for it.
I'm okay with this.
I am too.
I've got no problem with this at all.
No problem with it at all.
I'm okay with this. You know, it's rare that kids meet up these days without the assistance of swiping or an app. This is an old school, moderately
pandemic influenced, I would say, too.
Moderately incestual, moderately. Moderately.
Low key.
Not incest. Like,
no.
Incesty.
Yeah. I don't think it's incesty at all.
They have babies, there's no risk.
It actually feels old fashioned to me. How do you think people used to meet each other? Everybody lived in the same town.
Old fashioned.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, if this is the royal family, they're like good to go. They're like,
oh, yeah, the 100th cousins.
Royal family, they're like strangers.
That's right.
This is like someone's neighbor that moved in when they were 18 to me. This is like, now he's dating my neighbor.
I get that it probably blows Polly's mind that this is happening, but I just don't see anything wrong with it.
But Rana, Brian, if you were invited to this wedding, you wouldn't whisper to each other, you know, they're cousins.
I would. You know what? I would absolutely snicker about it behind their backs. There's no doubt about it. I would.
If they had been raised together as children, it would bother me. If they knew each other their whole lives and they were raised together as children, even though they are not related, it would feel, you know, Habsburgian. Wow. It would feel old-fashioned. You know what's so funny?
Just to let you know, you can't judge books by their leopard print sweaters. Rana, I would have thought for sure you would have been abhorrently against this.
It's not against the laws of nature what they're doing. They're familiars in the sense that they could have gone to high school together.
Fine.
These are just people that know each other and happen to have to go to the same family events. If they were step siblings and lived under the same roof, that would bother
me. I'm going to admit something. I do have a distant cousin. I don't know if it's blood related or not. That's such a good question. Who I often, nothing ever happened. Don't get excited, everybody. But I often, growing up, I found her to be very attractive, you know? And I was always, excited to be...
You used to beat your meat to her.
Whoa!
No. Whoa. No, I didn't. She was a cousin. We just went
like
right there.
Sounds like that's confirmation right there,
no,
Jerry.
No. I remember being with her. I loved her, and she lived in New Jersey, and, like, there was something, like, exotic about her, you know?
Yeah, sure, New Jersey.
And I remember finding her attractive.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, I never did the
things. Are you actually related to her when you do the math in your mind?
You know, my mother and her mother, have been related. They're cousins, but you know, my mother comes from a very big Irish Polish family. So I'm not sure if they're cousins or cousins, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think they might be cousins, which is like not blood related, you know, because
these are people that didn't meet until they were 16 or
because there was a guy who I thought was my uncle my whole life. And then I found out just recently from his daughter that we're not blood related, that, you know,
it was just like a term of endearment.
Yeah.
Actually, his name is Uncle Jerry. I was named after him. So I thought it was a term of endearment. I always called him Uncle Jerry. You know, it's what my family
did. But he's
did,
like
cousin,
a family
blah, blah, blah.
Best friend.
Well, yeah, very much so.
I have a challenge to this entire situation.
Oh, boy.
Or actually a question. So you have a son who we all know, Jordan, who is fabulous and brilliant. And
Jordy.
Jordy. Uh-huh. So you wouldn't mind, Rana, if Jordan was with someone sexually or romantically with someone who you considered
family.
With someone you considered family who wasn't family, but like sort of another child. Like, you wouldn't have a problem with Jordan mixing that situation up with
everything to do for mm-hmm. me. It has everything mm-hmm. to do with the quality of the candidate. And I have to say, I have not to this day encountered anyone in my greatest circle who mm-hmm. could hold a candidate.
No, I'm talking about greater circle. I'm talking about just intimate circle.
Oh, in my like tiny, people in you my might closest, know. Even who, in my closest circle, there's not a person that I've met that I would even consider as material for Jordan. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Tough, big shoes
present,
to fill.
Present company included, Jerry.
Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah. I understand. Nothing but the best for Jordy. Yeah.
Why is our letter writer having such best, a hard so time with this?
Hmm?
I think that's the question. That's really the question, is why is she having such a hard time with this?
I kind of get it.
It is weird. It's a little, you know what? It's a little, it's not nothing wrong with it. It's a little,
it's uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable, but it is, Paula, you do have to move on from this because it's not bad.
And you also, it's also because you've put them each somewhere, you know, you've been at events together, et cetera, et cetera. And so you're saying to yourself, were they always attracted to each other? When we used to go do this when we were 20, were they thinking about da, 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 da? It's calling the whole history of your relationship with each one of them into question, I think, is why it's bothering you. But the truth is, who knows? Maybe one of them always had a crush, like Jerry and his cousin, or not cousin. Fingers crossed.
I don't even know why I said that. I shouldn't have said that.
I gotta say, that's the kind of thing you don't want Rana to truncate, because that's what that becomes all of a sudden.
I'm not truncating anything. He told us he had a crush on his cousin. That is
what no, he said. Really, that there was a level
he said
of attraction.
Like maybe they were cousins, and if they were, very distant.
Well, he can fact check and get back to us before the podcast comes out. But
Rana should write headlines for the New York Post.
But the answer is, yes, it calls your history into question. But the truth is, whatever. There were a couple of people that found each other. Either it's going to work out or it's not going to work out.
That's right.
And you're too old now to really care. It's not like you have to go to every wedding with them or every, you know, you're not stuck in the backseat of a car together with them and you're the odd man out like kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's just... it's a little, I get it. It's uncomfortable. It's a little odd, but you have to move back your own preconceptions. It's hard to meet people.
Do you think any part of Polly wishes Peter were into her?
Mm.
Who knows? Not enough info.
No, but I think it's fair if she's jealous of the attention that her cousin is getting.
Yeah,
I don't think it's necessarily sexual, but
no,
if she... is close with Peter, and now someone else is having that close relationship with Peter, that could bring up feelings of jealousy. That would be understandable.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Should we move on?
I'm ready to.
Let's do it, Rana.
Hi, Rana. Brian, BRY and parentheses ANN, two N's.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot,
and
but I'll
take it. Possible fabulous guest. Well, we've got one for you.
Confirmation.
I'm a huge fan of the podcast. I was a strictly true crime fan until everything happened and I decided I needed more reasons to smile. You have truly helped me out of this awful time. I wish you many more years of podcasting. Thank you, dear. Oh,
what a nice wish.
Is Jerry still here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, just checking. This story is wild, so I've provided links to obituaries so you can verify the events.
I'm
going to choose to take your word for it. Okay.
Me too.
Last fall, I lost 4 family members to a super spreader. Horrible.
Ooh, boy.
Wow.
That's awful.
Unfortunately, my family, not me, is mostly made up of highly religious, staunch Republicans who do not believe in the vaccine. It was bound to happen. How horrible.
Yeah, that's so sad.
Don't remind me to tell you about Keep Sweet. Have you watched it yet?
Not yet. But I feel like I know it. I mean,
you should watch it anyway.
Okay, yeah. I will.
My dad was the first to die. Oh my goodness, I didn't see that coming. I'm so sorry. He had a leaky valve in his heart and the COVID pushed it over the edge. My parents had a very beautiful relationship. My mom has always been difficult. That's sort of an understatement. My sister and I believe she has borderline personality disorder and she doesn't believe in therapy. She's not always an easy person to love, but he did wholly and passionately for 25 years of marriage. Beautiful. Her aunt, sister, and father soon followed. It was incredibly traumatic.
That is awful.
Wow. Jeez. So her dad, her aunt, her sister, her great aunt, and her grandfather all passed away.
Horrifying.
After 7 really cold and sad months, she is ready to start dating again. She has joined some apps, but she may be one of the most gullible people I've ever met in my life. Brian, I'm already thinking of 90 Day Fiance and the woman in Las Vegas who was in love with the African Fisher.
Oh, yes.
What was his name? Like Jefferson. What was the guy's name that she was in love with? You'll think of it.
You're either talking about...
Are you talking about the girl from Georgia, Angela and Michael?
No, that's a love story for the
ages. There was also the Soulja Boy. Was that his name? Artist, the musician.
Right.
With a couple of...
No, I'm not talking about either of them. Did Soulja Boy get another one?
Oh, yeah. He was on a second season. Yeah.
What happened to Baby Girl? Baby Girl Lisa?
Baby Girl Lisa, they're not together anymore. There was a new
Baby
Girl.
Are you talking about
Lisa.
Angela, who was looking for her eggs? I'm going to find another egg for you, Michael.
Yeah. I am talking about the woman in Las Vegas who was in love with the guy who was in London, who was a Nigerian Fisher, and she never met him.
Oh, Williams.
Williams, thank you.
Yeah, his name was Jefferson. Williams. I think her name was like Alana or something. I can't remember her name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's already, and her kids kept trying to break it to her, but they didn't want to break her heart because her husband had passed away recently.
Correct. Oh, yes.
And then she was like,
And she had lost 300 pounds. And she went to Jamba Juice every day and drank all of her calories.
And she said she loved his British accent, but when you heard it, it was like
he was
clearly
Nigerian. Yeah.
Right. I'm so sorry. You know why I couldn't think of it? It's because it wasn't an actual relationship. It was
we never met him. Yeah.
But I'll tell you who I can't stop thinking about is Lana and David. I cannot stop thinking about
What do you think's going on with Lana?
Well, because he went to Ukraine to meet her.
I know.
And I can't stop thinking about how
you can't stop thinking about them
on crossing that line that he would not accept.
Oh, that he writes.
Well, especially now with all these OnlyFans and the people that run their accounts and all. I mean, that he would, it's all the same thing. The mail order bride originally is what it was. And now it's this. And anyway,
but correct me if I'm wrong. I know you can't stop thinking about it, but Lana ended up being a real person.
She did.
Oh yeah. But Lana was a real person who I believe had probably just sold her picture to a company and then someone else did the chatting.
Let me tell you something.
She did the chatting. I don't know. She's going to meet David and his bomber jacket and his wig.
This is going to be the second bold statement that I make here. I know the first one being my feelings for my fourth cousin, but 90 Day Fiancé is currently the best show on television.
I haven't watched
on
with them lately.
What are the hot couples?
I'll tell you, now that Ethiopian guy is a professional MMA fighter, and for the first time, I'd say in any unscripted show that we love, I'm going across all networks and everything.
Uh-huh.
He competed in an MMA fight coming to this country for the first time.
So he has crossed into the mainstream, is what you're saying.
And it was, I said to myself, I had to pause it for a second, and I was like, I can't believe I'm watching and rooting for a UFC fighter in an unscripted show about overseas relationships. Right. Like that's how good
these
characters are on that show is that they've got me now in the octagon. Like they did it.
Yeah.
They
did it. You're making me realize now I want to see a remake of Twins, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Danny DeVito you and Big Ed, with Jerry on Big Ed. I want to see one.
Oh, that would be fun. That would be fun.
Oh, God. That was a good one. Stars are great on that show.
Mayonnaise
She's
in that
already
hair.
Been catfished once. I'll never forget that rat as long as I live. The rat that was dying in their hovel.
Oh, in the
one with like mange?
It was like a Palomino rat.
Remember,
she's already
had
been catfished once. She's currently talking to an ex-boyfriend who's married and keeps asking for her senior picture. Gross. Those are her words. I agree. She keeps matching with guys that ask her to download apps that encrypt messages. In other words, they're all married.
Right.
I'm totally at a loss here. How do I help her? She's not looking for another soulmate. She's at peace with the fact that she may never have it again. She wants a companion, someone to do lawn care and handiwork while she cooks and cleans. She's a teacher, and that's her whole life. She doesn't take time to do social activities and doesn't really have anyone to do them with aside from her sister and I. I unfortunately live 2 hours away, and I'm a newlywed myself, so I can't always be around. Ooh. With her only getting dating exposure through apps, I'm concerned. My biggest fear is that she's going to give these guys money or too much personal info. To make matters worse, she's a tad materialistic. One of the first questions she asks them is what kind of car they drive.
Oh, Jerry, are you listening?
Wow. She's very proud of her own car and how much land she lives on. Excuse me. I don't doubt she's sharing that information. Ah, I feel like she's making herself a bigger target. I'm feeling very protective of her with everything being so raw. Do I try to convince her to get off the apps, meet some men in person? She's gotten fished and scammed over Facebook so many times. Oh, my goodness. I have no idea how to help her. Do I just need to mind my own business? Any advice for a grieving widow looking to get back out there? I should pass along all my love, K. P.S. I totally sent this email to the lady who won't give Rana the Ask Rana. Website a couple weeks ago and didn't realize until Rana mentioned it in yesterday's episode. She asked me how I got her email and said she had no advice but would accept any I have. Oops. That is so, there's a woman out there named Rana who won't sell me askrana.com, Jerry.
She won't do it.
And that is who she wrote to. So she wrote to
she wrote to that lady.
Ask Rana. Yes, that's very funny.
Why don't you just buy the .org or the .net?
Yeah, I could, but, you know.
That's not how Rana is.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not, you know, I've got
to
be.
You could always change it to askronandbrian.com, Rana. Did you ever think of that?
But then I'm locked into that. Yeah.
Rana can't do that.
She can't. She simply can't.
Ask Rana and Naomi's probably available.
Rana, I will get out of here if you do that again. I'm done. She threatens me with another host all the time. Okay.
I have advice.
What do you think Jerry's doing here today? He's the clap.
Don't you dare.
If there's ever been a fox in the hen house, it's Jerry O'Connell.
Well, get because he's on the talk. He's hosting everything.
He's the cuckoo bird that sits in everybody's chair. Yeah, you better watch out.
I have advice for this young lady.
Yes.
It sounds like I understand like the internet is a scary place, especially for people of a particular age. It's there's just too many predators out there. It's frightening. So I would maybe book some, there's gotta be older singles trips. You know what I'm saying? Like there's
I like that.
Great idea.
I like that.
There's gotta be older singles like vacation spots where people have to pay thousands of dollars to go to the Galapagos Islands or something. And it's like, you know, you have to be able to pay that entry fee to get there. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're somewhat legitimate and have a somewhat of a decent credit score. And you can meet them face to face because, you know, it's funny. I often think like, if I were single, would I be able to go on the apps? Because I never dated on the apps. I've been married.
Yeah, you could go on Raya, but you'd have to date a lot of Instagram models before you found somebody.
But listen, Rana,
I know that would be hard for you.
Well, Rana, I'm actually telling you, I'm not sure my generation, I would be able to do Instagram. You know what I mean?
I know all you men, I know you find a way to struggle through it though and then marry a 24-year-old. I don't know how you do it. It takes all the courage in the world, but all of you is figure it out.
No, I have to say online dating is sort of a hell mouth. I mean, like it obviously works for some people, but it's
takes up so much time. The fact that people have that kind of access to you is that they're texting all the time or messaging all the time. Oh, this person didn't respond. This person didn't respond. It used to be that you had to take somebody out, have a conversation with them, decide, take the measure of them in person. Mm-hmm. And that only took a couple of hours. It didn't take 6 weeks of talking before it happened.
No, let me actually tell you, I think the biggest difference is when I was dating people, you know, when I saw my wife at a Maxim Hot 100 party, I had to walk up
that
to
she
her.
Was invited to.
Yeah, I had actually snuck in.
Yeah,
you were crashing she was it,
one.
Sure.
She was one of the 100,
and I snuck in with like 10 of my other dumb friends. It was like guy friends, and my wife was in the VIP section. But I had to go up to her and say, "Hey, how are you? My name is Jerry. We met once. I was invited to that party that you went to. I waved at you. We used to live around the corner from each other, but you ignored me because you were married to the wealthiest television star in the world at the time."
That's very sexy, though. I mean, it is nothing is more attractive than someone going up to someone and just being charming and striking it up. Totally.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think for this young lady, this young lady, I think I would suggest that she looks into some trips for.
I love that idea. I really do. Probably, it gives us something to look forward to, too.
True.
And they probably even have trips for people who are recently widowed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I would
love
also,
that idea.
I think it's a perfect idea. And how much fun. I mean, like what could go wrong? But I also want
any number of things.
Any number of things. But at least when they go wrong, you're somewhere fabulous.
Overboard is where you are.
Now, you know what? Rana, that is very rude. That's very dark.
Well, I can laugh because it happened to me.
You were thrown overboard?
No, but my husband passed away on the water.
Oh, that's right. I always forget about that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Well, it's sort of a slap in his face that you go to Martha's Vineyard, isn't it? I mean, because
that
is the water.
St. Bart's, and I do still go there too. I mean, look.
Yeah, but oceans are oceans.
The oceans, it's an absolutely insane thing to say. Oceans are oceans. Absolutely mental. They all have their own personalities, their own treachery, and their own. I mean, come on. Anyway, I'm not.
All I wanted to say was
that
this.
With you.
There are also things which I don't know in this new online dating—not new, 20,000 years old at this point—but there are legit matchmaking services.
I was thinking the same. Yeah.
I remember
in
Southwest Magazine at the very back, they used to have an ad for something called It's Just Lunch, where it was like a premium service you paid for. Mm-hmm. And you would talk with them and they would have a database and like these people already vetted and this whole thing.
Fact checked and background checked.
But that might be another way to go of just sort of like, you're not then dealing with someone who might be a criminal.
You know, but I have to tell you too, and I hate to generalize and stereotype because you guys know that's not what I'm about. But I think older women, they fall victim to this stuff. You know what I'm saying? They're like I listened to that Dirty John, and that was an older, again, I hate to generalize and stereotype. I'm sorry if anyone is offended by that. But this was an older woman who was, it was an older woman who was desperate to find
who are you calling
a relationship. I'm saying in Dirty John.
Uh-huh.
In Dirty John, the lady who got into trouble with Dirty John, the John who was dirty, was like older and like kind of desperate to find a relationship. And that's why she ended up with this criminal.
It's what happens to lonely people who are vulnerable. And the problem is that for the life of me, I'll never understand the psychology of this, but of course it's true. And it's the same with these January 6th bozos. They all get, or the QAnon people or whoever, they get a hit. They are lacking some kind of dopamine and connection and they're lonely or they feel at the bottom of their life or the bottom of their social strata or whatever it is. And they need something. They need what every person needs, which is to feel valued and part of a group in some way.
Yeah.
And whoever walks through that open, vulnerable door at that time owns them as quickly as you can imagine. It doesn't make any sense to me, except that I see the evidence of it everywhere.
Yes.
Right.
And that is the problem with widows, lonely people, whatever it is. It is the reason that you say your mother has been scammed repeatedly. Because otherwise, why wouldn't she? This is the same as those people who don't want to believe a thing about Trump. Well, they're just saying that. Well, here's all the evidence laid out for you. This guy stole $250 million from the American public with his little lie. And all of the people that gave think, well, they're just saying that because it made them feel part of something to do.
Right. And they no one likes to feel like a loser.
No one wants, particularly not someone who already felt like a loser. I can't go back there is basically psychologically how they feel.
Yes.
You have to find a way, whether it's you or someone else, because I do absolutely subscribe to this idea of right words, wrong face. Your mother may not be able to hear it from you. She may need to hear it from someone else, from her therapist, from another one of her friends. I don't know who. Oh, maybe she can hear it from you.
Or maybe she can, but you know what? She should really sign over guardianship rights to you.
Certainly her estate.
That's what I mean. People who want to jump back in and date again at an older age,
they
who are
vulnerable.
They should
be on probation for a year. All of their finances should be on probation.
Frozen. Exactly. Totally agree.
Really, they should have guardianship.
Yeah.
But someone has to say to her, no, everybody wants you to meet someone. Everybody wants you to be happy. But you have to look at the, there are not nasty people in this world.
Yeah.
And
monsters.
When you don't meet everyone face to face that you're talking to, you have to factor in a lack of trust. You just have to. You don't know these, even people you do meet face to face, total con men, Dirty John.
Yeah.
And you have to trust that I'm only telling you this because I want the best for you, not because I don't want you to be happy. And in fact, I'd love to help you find someone. Cruise, matchmaker, da da da. But let's bring this into IRL.
So, Jerry. Wait a minute.
We were chatting. I'm sorry. I was going on and on, but I've chatted all the way through Jerry's guest star appearance on this show. And if he doesn't go back to work out of his Corvette, they're going to fire him. And then who's going to buy chocolates?
Oh, the shades just went on. That's right. Go buy those chocolates, Jerry. And yeah, thank you for being on the show. Yeah, we know how busy you are.
But this is the moment in the program where we have to choose between.
Oh, do you have 30 more seconds?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is the moment in the show. You've never looked cooler, by the way. This is the moment in the show when we decide which of the two people who wrote in gets a little something special from us. So Rana and I decide what they're going to get typically, but we all pitch in on who should get something. So should it be the person who wrote in about their mother dating again, or should it be Polly, who's got a family situation happening?
You know, I mean, I know that the young lady who had a lot of relatives perish, that should probably where my vote should go.
Right.
But I'd like to be a little contrary. And I'm going to say that the kissing cousins story sort of brought out a lot in me. So I'm going to go with the cousins in a relationship.
Okay.
So not the person who lost four close relatives, including their own father, to COVID last year. Just checking. Just the person who doesn't want other people to be happy. That's who you're choosing. The person who doesn't want other people to be happy. Because it doesn't square with her idea.
I'm sorry that people lost.
I love that you're doubling down right now.
And I am vaccinated. I'm triple vaxxed.
There you go.
And haven't gotten the fourth shot. Still too young for that. I'm sorry. Yeah. I just thought that the cousin story just churned up like more of a conversation, you know?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Brian.
Oh, how dare you, Rana? I gotta go with the second letter for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm going to decide the tiebreaker after Jerry leaves. Jerry, we love you.
You're fantastic. We love you.
Thank you for being here. Go back to your fabulous life.
Fabulous.
Oh, is he a blast?
He really is so fun.
This will go down in the history of Ron and Brian as the worst audio recording we've ever had. But it was fun.
But the most fun environment, the most fun background.
He looked right out of Cobra Kai.
I was going to say he looked like he was in Drive. Yes.
Yep. There you go. All right, dear. You want to read this? Because I read the last question. People getting tired of my voice. I've been chit-chatting all day.
Not possible, but I'd love to read it. Here we go. Dearest Rana, Brian, and guest if applicable. He's Hollywood. He had to go. He put on his shades. He got in his Corvette and he had to go.
And often we don't keep our guests for the clip.
Yeah, we usually don't anymore, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't promise to keep this brief, but I hope you find that the details of the story warrant the lengthy question. So here we go.
Hold on, let me put my feet up for a second.
Absolutely.
This total episode's off the rails, and it started with you attacking me.
I gotta say, Rana, this was a. I gotta take a nap after this because my emotions have been so.
Well, too bad. We've got more work to do after this. Yeah.
You're right.
Toyed with.
I have a Ukrainian friend who I've known for over 12 years. We're very close.
Okay.
I was in the room when she delivered her first baby.
Oh.
She's my emergency contact in every place that requires you to have one. We both have described each other as the friend who you know you can call anytime, day or night. This friend, let's call her Yulia, can be the sweetest, most generous, and supportive person you've met, but she's also very emotionally volatile and impulsive. Part of this stems from her strong and unapologetic character, but also from some undiagnosed and probably some misdiagnosed mental health issues.
I'm starting to wonder if this Yulia's Yadvina, really. But anyway, go on.
Poor Yadvina. Yulia describes herself as a difficult person, and she does not have a lot of close friends. She frequently tells me about, it's so funny that someone describes themselves as difficult and is like, okay with that, I guess. Anyway, she frequently She frequently tells me about blowouts she's had with her spouse.
Some people think it's a badge of honor. But anyway, go on.
You're right. She frequently tells me about blowouts she's had with her spouse, family members, workmates, classmates, and people she might have described as friends, but that she is, quote, no longer on speaking terms with. I'm familiar with all her quirks. I know to take some of the things she says with a grain of salt, have established boundaries for myself, and have sailed mostly smoothly through our friendship. Until...
Oh, no.
Now.
Well, it was a matter of time.
Of course. Yeah. Things have been particularly...
That's Yulia. That's
our that's our Yulia. That's our
girl. I don't know how you say
girl.
That in Ukrainian. In Russian, it's Eta Yulia. That was Yulia. That's what her sitcom would be called with an exclamation point.
With an exclamation point.
Afterwards. Yeah.
Things have been particularly stressful for her lately. There are the normal recurring fights with her husband, grad school stress, problems with her preteen daughter. This is a lot. Mother, stepfather, and mother-in-law, et cetera. How many of these problems is she causing, though? To add to all that, there was a death in her husband's family that might result in Yulia and her husband having to adopt an orphaned young boy.
Oh,
and
my.
Then, of course, the war.
Yeah.
A little over a month ago, she told me she was going to Ukraine in 5 days' time. Out of the blue, she'd bought tickets to arrive in Poland and travel to Ukraine by land, with no other specific plans beyond that. Obviously, I was worried about my friend going into a war zone, but knowing her... I expressed my concern with a very light touch and just hope for the best. She's not the kind of person who changes her mind. I know. It's many paragraphs later, and I haven't even gotten to the juicy part of the story. My apologies.
Yes, I'm wondering where the question is.
What is
please.
It?
Dear Ronna and Brian, and end it with a question
with
mark.
With a question
That's
mark.
The whole, when's our haiku episode? Mimi, put it together.
So a couple days after
friend on train in need, family orphaned. Should I? That's the haiku.
That's
Go
it.
On.
So a couple days after she'd sprung the news about her travel, she called me in tears. She said she was having a bad day and she asked me to come over. I dropped everything I was doing and headed over to her house with my almost 2-year-old in tow. She was in bad shape.
Great
she was
idea.
Alternately crying. She was, I mean, the 2-year-olds, they need to see something like that.
Well,
at some
what
point.
2-year-olds have that a lot of other children don't have is a ton of patience.
True.
Yeah. So
and they're
patient,
always concerned about someone else besides them.
What they really are great at is if you take them into a volatile emotional situation, they're very
they
patient.
Love it. They're empathic. Yeah. She was alternately crying and screaming. My marriage is over. My husband never listens. He's always so inconsiderate. I'm done with him. No one supports me. My mom and my husband are the worst. I can't stand my mother-in-law.
Yeah.
And on and on and on. She was in such a state that my daughter was starting to get agitated.
You don't say.
So I tried to dial things down a little. I asked her what had brought all this on. And as she listed all her hyperbolic and superlative problems, I tried to stop her by saying that perhaps using words like always and never was not helpful.
Oh, boy.
And that's when it all went awry.
I bet.
She started screaming at me. And I don't mean a loud tone of voice. I mean at the top of her lungs, screaming. Why can't you support me? No one ever supports me. I'm always the crazy one. You've never once been on my side. I tried to interrupt in his comments.
That's like right out of a textbook.
Truly.
Of craziness.
I said, Yulia.
Not craziness. I'm going to take back that word. I apologize for using that word.
Yulia, I can never be... I tried to interrupt and said as calmly as I could, Yulia, I can be supportive without having to agree with everything you say. And that's when the shit, pardon my language,
I bet she was really able to take that in.
Really hit the roof. No, you can't. Get out. Get out of my house. Get out. She raged at me. My daughter started crying. Yulia grabbed my bag and threw it out the front door. It was ugly. I told her I was going to stop talking, but that I couldn't leave her in that state. What? I felt like it.
Well, this is another one. Dear doormat, love doormat.
Dear doormat, love doormat. I felt like it wasn't safe for her to be left alone. She screamed more. She slammed doors. She even talked. Did you
guess what Yulia's never going to do? Kill herself.
Right. Oh, no.
She'll kill someone else. She would have killed your 2-year-old before she'd kill herself.
Yep. She screamed more. She slammed doors. She even told me I should be more worried about myself when I told her I was worried about her. She picked up her keys and drove off. I called her husband on the verge of tears to tell him what had happened. I was at a loss to what to do next. What do I call? Or who do I call? What do I do? I was thinking of getting my husband to pick up my daughter so I could stay in Yulia's.
What?
This is crazy. I was thinking of getting my husband to pick up my daughter so I could stay in Yulia's house and wait for her. But just as I was trying to set that up, Yulia called my husband and screamed and told him to tell me to get the F out of her house. So I left. She sent me a message that said, "You are dead to me. Never talk to me again." I was distraught, to say the least. I mean, this is free pass. The only time I'd ever seen her like this was one time she had gone off her medication, but it was not nearly as intense as this was. Her husband told me he did not have reasons to suspect that she was off her meds in this instance, but I know that that was not her normal self.
Her husband, who literally is so checked out because all she does is rage at him. You think he's looked in her medicine cabinet in the last... When you ask it, I can't believe I shouldn't be answering this before I answer it.
I know, but it's unnerving.
Her husband, when you said, "I think he's off, she's off her meds," you're saying to him, he has another problem you have to deal with. So he says, "Oh, I don't know if she is, because I don't want to know.
I don't want to know."
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure she's bipolar. I have my own.
Try to get somebody to go back on their meds. Good luck.
Yeah, come on. I have my own mental health issues, so I'm forgiving, willing to give her the benefit of the doubt. And look past such explosions. I even texted her a few hours later to check in.
Oh,
and then
I just started to get so angry,
Brian. Just like bawled at this,
I just became furious.
I know, furious.
At a letter writer.
I'm with
not
you.
At Yulia.
Could not be more with you. I even texted
her. You have a 2-year-old.
Yeah. This is.
Go on.
You don't deserve. I don't know why you think you deserve this. And then another 30 minutes later after that to make sure she was okay. I got no response. I wouldn't be surprised if she blocked my number. So finally we arrive at the question. Yulia has been gone for a month and she's due to come back from Ukraine in a few days. What should I do? Should I try to reach out? Should I wait for her to reach out to me? If we communicate, should I pretend nothing happened? I don't feel like I can just write this 12-year-old friendship off. I just don't know what to do. Please help me, Ron and Brian,
friendship.
And forgive me for the long, long letter. Sincerely, a friend in a war zone. Please don't use my name. P.S. I posted this as a message on the Patreon page, but wasn't sure if that's where we were supposed to send questions. Sorry for the duplicate.
Woo. Well, that's just a person who sent their question to two places because they're trying to get it answered. And guess what? I can't wait.
I can't either. You want to talk about giving someone the business?
I'm going to throw the book
at
her.
I got to say, I hope I have calmed down enough to answer this question by the time
You know what? I'm actually looking forward to reading the question again on Patreon and hoping that I have taken a few breaths and that my perspective has shifted since then. But I can't make any guarantees.
Here's what we can tell you. Patreon.com/ Ask Rana.
Yeah, that's right.
ARSocialClub.com or ARSocial.club.
Yes.
AskRanaCoffee.com, Negrana.com.
Yeah.
Those are your assignments.
I feel a little sorry for the Negrana right now because it's a perfect beverage.
I know.
And I'm worried that people aren't buying it because they're buying there's so many people signing up for the social club now because they saw how fabulous the Kiki was.
It's tough competition.
And it's making me upset. I'm almost thinking about taking it off the market and then putting it back on because it's not getting the attention it deserves. But I'm in this awkward position where I need to bring people something new every month for the social club. So it's not like I can make the Negrana part of the social club.
You know what? The Negrana is...
It's a classic.
It's a classic. It's an absolute evergreen. That
Negroni,
will never be
Negroni
knocked
will
down.
Forever be one of my
forever.
Favorite
it's always there.
No
it's,
question.
It's your standby, you know?
It's so hard. It's like having more than one child.
It's also still...
I wouldn't know anything about that.
The Negrana also is still an incredible gift and something.
Oh, it's so...
By the way...
When people get it, it's a showstopper.
Rana, did we decide what we were sending? You didn't pick a winner.
Of course I did. It's the person who lost their entire family.
What are we going to send them?
It's hard because her mother... What I want to send her is her mother to have a phone call with me. That's what I really want to send her as a gift. But I don't know.
Well, maybe she has a bath.
Well. Oh, maybe she has a bath. Maybe. What could we give her? Oh, so much grief and so much grief. You know, I mean, true grief and then good grief.
Yeah.
Like Charlie Brown or whoever said good grief. Charlie Brown says good grief, doesn't he?
Yep. I mean, could we
you know
gift
what I have,
her?
Right?
Go ahead. Please tell
go
me.
Go ahead. You want to gift her a gift certificate to the to the matchmaker. That's what you were going to say. But no. I have something else.
Tell me.
You won't believe it when I tell you.
I can't wait.
I don't know if they even make these anymore.
Okay.
I had Tony clear out some storage facilities in the carriage house the other day.
Yeah.
I've got to keep him busy. I mean, otherwise, I'm not getting my money's worth.
Right.
And during that process, there were excavated in this archaeological dig two Origins Bath and Body hugs or whatever they
the
were.
The feel
called.
Good hug?
Yep. That I had not given out.
This
I
is
bought them.
Huge.
Those were limited edition. I don't know if they make them anymore.
I don't know if they do either.
And so I thought they were going out of business.
I used mine like 3 days ago.
So I bought as many as they had on the website because I knew we loved giving them out. But then we started giving out other things. So there were two of them.
Oh my God. This is going to be amazing.
And that's what I'm going to send her.
I am. By the way, that's.
I hope Tony knows where it is.
Basically a collector's edition.
Yeah. It's probably worth thousands of dollars now. Yeah.
Oh, lucky yeah. her.
So Tony's going to have to do a little digging, but that's what she's going to get.
Sounds good, Rana. Like the she big dig. Remember in Boston, the big dig?
I do. Yeah, I do. I lived through the big dig. But they did have a wonderful billboard for the big dig. It said when you would get mad as soon as you were going into the expressway, it would say, Rome wasn't built in a day, ... And then the next billboard said, if it was, we would have hired their contractor.
That is cute, actually.
Pretty cute.
Very cute.
Yeah. All right, dear. I absolutely adore you.
Love you, Rana.
And we look forward to-
I'm going to have a drink of my cocktail club early just to get through this cliffhanger.
I understand. What I really want, though, is for people to start- If they're going to sign up for August, sign up now if they're coming to the White Party.
Because they get sold out.
Let's call it the White Party, okay?
That's fine, Rana.
If they're coming to the White Party in August, they've got to sign up now because what I've curated is so limited edition that I need to make sure there's enough. So that's really the issue that kind of needs those orders, at least the big numbers as early as possible. So
sure.
ASocialClub.com. We adore you. We can't wait. We've got our July Kiki coming up. And then for August, you can join now if you haven't joined already.
And they sell out, so get on it.
And whenever you join, it's the first 3 months. That's what the membership is. You join for the first 3 months. After that, you are automatically enrolled. If you want to unenroll, you have to do that yourself.
You just
please don't ask me to write to you to say, hey, I forgot to, I can get back to me about whether you want to be in the social club.
This is like you'll any
have
other
to
club.
Unenroll yourself. But the people, the first 3 months are already covered. Everybody's coming to the White Party in August that's already enrolled, so they don't have to worry. But the new people, if they want to come, they've got to sign up now. So
wonderful, Rana.
All right, dear. I absolutely love you. Kiss.
As do I.
Kiss.